Praise the Lord. This song had been in my spirit all day long, and if you know it, you can help me. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever. Man, you sound good. Sing it one more time with me. And he walks
with me, and he talks with me,
and he tells me I am his own. Man, praise the Lord. And the joy
we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Let's give him praise, church. Hallelujah. Go ahead and get in your Bibles tonight. We're going to share a thought with you, and I know it will bless you. John chapter 3, we're going to start reading in verse 5. While you're getting there, I just want to talk about the story prior to where we're going to read. Jesus had been going all throughout the land surrounding Jerusalem, and all the while, all of the Pharisees and Sadducees were beginning to be a little bit nervous about him showing up to Jerusalem for Passover. They didn't want Jesus to show up. They had heard about this miracle man. They had heard about how he walked up to a leper and healed him. They had heard about how he was walking up to people that were blind and healed them. And every time something would go on, they would go and give the report back to the big temple and say, there's something else that's happened. He went over across the shore and there was 5,000 there ready to hear what he had to say. And I can imagine that they begin to be nervous. So as we read this passage, we're talking about Nicodemus. He was one of those in that crowd. He was one of those that was the back and forth to give the report of what was going on. So they sent Nicodemus out to Jesus, not to go and to befriend him, but to try to find some sort of loophole in God's plan. Are you with me tonight? Now that we've got that out of the way, let's get right to the meat of the word. Verse 5, go ahead and stand with us. We're going to read this together. We're going to read verse 5, verse through verse 8. If you got your Bible, verse 5, chapter 3, book of St. John, let's read together. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it man, and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Hallelujah. Let's pray while we're standing. Father, right now, I pray in the name of Jesus that this word that we're going to share with the people tonight, that it will bless them, that it will feed them, that it will strengthen them, and that, God, my prayer is right now that we just stay together in this word for this time, and we put it in our spirit as we go forward. For as you spoke, God, I believe that we're not to go backwards, but we are to move forward. So tonight, let us move forward through this word in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. You may be seated. God, I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord Jesus. I thank God that even though we as flesh try to create situations to God that would try to prove God wrong or try to question God in some way, that he always has a truth for every time that we try to come short. I thank God that when he found me, that there wasn't anything that I could say that could justify my addictions, but there was a way out. There was a truth. There was a stepping stone for me to take. I wasn't to dwell in the suffering forever, but there was a way out. So as we read this word together, let's go back up into verse 5, and it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." I thank God that one day I was able to have that experience in water baptism. It was wonderful. I'll never forget it. I was about 15 years old, and I was so nervous. And I knew that when I called out to God and prayed that He had saved my life. There was a lady, her name was Mary Ford. I don't know if you know her or not. She came and got me, and the anointing was so strong on her at the time. She was so humble, and she just came to me, and all she whispered was, "Don't wait until it's too late." And that's all I needed. I remember going to the altar that night, and I remember calling out on God to save my soul. And I thank God that I was able to step into those waters and that He saved my life. As we read this word, He was bringing out a mystery unto Nicodemus and was saying, "Thou, although that you would have the water baptism, that there is going to be a spiritual baptism that you would begin to have." I know that when God saved my life, that there was still trouble all around me. Who's been there with me? There were still issues. You know, some people may try to tell you that everything's going to be roses the moment that you get saved. But I found that each day that I live for God, that there's some kind of something up around the corner. There's going to be something try to attack my mind, something to attack my body, something to try and attack my spirit. And I'm glad that even though I faced all that trouble, that there was more than just the water that took care of me. Praise the Lamb of God. Now I need somebody to help me preach tonight. Hallelujah. If it would have just been by the water alone, I would have surely failed on my own. For I was without a teacher and I was without a guide in this life and in the trouble that I was in. There was a day and time when God knew that man would not be able to handle it just by our own commitment, that there had to be something more than just to say, "Lord, I'm going to try." But there had to be something that would guarantee by the promise of the Spirit that I would have a way out. So tonight I thank Him that one day I heard a voice. One day I had an experience that though I've tried to explain it, I never get through it. There was a day that I began to feel something, and I wasn't around a body of water, and I wasn't over by the creek side. I was in trouble in the depths of my spirit, and I needed another way that I couldn't have done on my own. I want to remind you that Jesus spoke to the disciples knowing that they would face trouble they could not handle. And He's spoken, and I feel the Holy Ghost. He's spoken to their spirit, and He gave them something that would last them. He said, "I'll go and prepare a place for you, but I know that you're going to need something else to take care of you. And though you may feel alone, I'm sending you another comforter. I'm sending you a way that you'll come through. I'm sending you a means and a way of escape." If it would have been enough for the water, they would have made it. But it wasn't going to be enough in church. We need the Spirit in our churches. We need the Spirit in our daily lives. We need the anointing. Unless we're born of the water and of the Spirit, it says He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. When you read the passage, "enter the kingdom of God," we're referring to and discussing the presence of God. For us to feel the kingdom of God on earth is to feel His presence. How many of you can praise God for being able to know His presence? If we try to come in with what we're not able to accomplish and try to enter in, the Bible refers to this in the severity that it is as a thief and a robber. For by coming into the presence of God by your flesh, you are attempting to steal grace without repentance. If we are ever going to feel His presence, we must abide in more than just our commitment. There has to be more that stirs in you to enter into the glory of God. Nicodemus wasn't understanding this. They were having the conversation back and forth, and he said, "How can I be born again when I've already been born in this life?" And I'm glad that I didn't have to put my mother through a second birth. Because if she had to sign up for that one, I'm sure she would have said, no way, I can't do that again. Come on now. That was bad enough the first time. Why would I go through it the second time? The same concept is applied when you think about the water. I was baptized one time, but I know if I went back a second time, it would not do any more for me than it happened for the first time. If I go and make that commitment to God, He sees that commitment to believe, but there's got to be something else in the depths of my heart that will be able to follow through the commitment. He not only hears our commitment, but He gives us the follow through with the Spirit of God. But I'm just going to have to tell you, there's been some days when I've needed a teacher, that I needed somebody to speak to me in a way that would bring me rest and comfort in the hardship. When my father was going through cancer, I was so troubled. It was hard for me to understand. God, I serve You. And this is for somebody, these thoughts right here, because you've been there. God, I serve You. I show up and work for You diligently. I love people. Yet things still seem to be turning a direction that I didn't want. And I remember many nights praying about that. And one day God gave me peace. But I don't think I would have ever found peace had I not had His Spirit. Had I not had the Spirit of God, I would have already been on the side of the road somewhere. Already given up on my walk with God. There are many people that enter into the commitment to serve God, but without the follow-through of the church to ensure that they have learned of and dwelled in the presence of God, lose the follow-through to continue on. To put that simply, people will come and feel like they've been saved, but still have the capacity to go right back out where they just came from and enter back into sin. And you might think that you're far away from this concept, but just entertain the thought with me. If you've ever been to church, walk right out the door and the devil jump right on top of your mind, and you feel like, first of all, that you're not in the presence, not let alone even feeling like that you're saved at all. Many of us have been in this place before, but I'm glad that the Spirit of God conquers every attack of the devil. I'm glad that I know every time I've been depressed, God has given me a lifting up. Not of my own strength, not of my own power, but through Him I can do all things. Through Him I'm going to come through. I feel like preaching now. I remember when they got him in and took him in to have surgery, and how that he had made arrangements and told us everything that he wanted in case everything didn't happen. And I don't know if I've ever shared the story with him before, but I remember that last moment that we were with him, I felt the Holy Ghost just sweep into that room like a flood. And though I'd heard the arrangements, and I heard, and though my heart was weary, all of a sudden I was at peace. And I'm glad that he's still here today, and that God has healed him and is still working a miracle in his life. But here's what I'm getting at. Even if he wouldn't have made it, I had the peace to overcome either way. Jesus knew that there would be days for the disciples when they would not be able to do it on their own. And he instructed them and said, tarry here for a little while, and that I would endue you with power. Today I'm tarrying. Day by day I tarry. But I know there's going to come a day when that mighty rushing wind comes by and helps me. God never promised that it was going to be easy to get in here week in and week out and serve God together. We get used to each other. We get bored sometimes, get aggravated sometimes, and find it difficult to always be in the center of that presence. But the one thing that we're instructed to do is to tarry. Hang in there. Hold on. The Bible said to hold on to the plow and not look back behind you. How many of you is holding on to the plow tonight? How many of you is waiting for power to descend on your situation? I know this tonight. If you want to enter in, get in the Spirit of God. How do I do that, brother? You've got to tear down every stronghold in your flesh that would hinder you. There's been many days when I couldn't leap and I had to get my feet loose to where I could leap. There's many days where I didn't feel like shouting and I had to loose this tongue and let God shout. And as I tarried, His presence descended like a wind. I didn't see it coming. If you try to see the wind, you only see it in what it moves. If you see the Spirit of God, you see it when it moves through somebody. We want to save our generations, our loved ones. But by a commitment alone, they will not enter into God's presence. We all come in here saved by the grace of God, committed to serve Him. And that is honorable in every means of the standard of that context. But hear this, the witness and what people feel from you is when the wind of the Holy Ghost passes by your way, brings deliverance into your spirit. Everybody around you may not be feeling it, but all of a sudden, you'll feel a little bit of a... All of a sudden, you'll feel a little bit of wind. Man, I feel God. You'll feel the wind begin to shake. The very leaves around you, all of a sudden, somebody begins to lift up their hands, and you look over and say, do I see the Spirit of God? What an encouragement it is to feel His presence. It's empowering. It's encouraging. It loves people. If you want to reach out to somebody, you have to reach out with them more than your commitment to serve Him. You must be born again. There must be a travail of this body. Are you with me? There has to be labor and a willingness to push so that that which is born in you comes forth and is life to somebody else. We may not all take the appearance that we're carrying and maybe in the third trimester tonight, but we're all carrying a burden of some magnitude. And you may not see it on me, but there's some things I'm going through. I'm all the way out to here. Man, it just, I can feel it kicking. I feel life stirring up in the depths of me. I feel the rivers of living water stirring all up in my spirit. I feel that the press and the push is nearing for my life. The only way that there will be a birth in me is that I give up on this flesh and do all. When you're giving birth, it's that you've got to push with all that's in you. You've got to push with all the life that exists in this body to bring life out of you. What a joy it is to hold that newborn child. What a joy it is to have the experience of a new birth. And all I can tell you is if you come through and travail, you'll feel the power of God help you push this thing on out of your way. And somebody will get to hold the Spirit that comes from... There must be a time in your life when you make up your mind to go beyond just commitment. There'll be moments when God will want to use you in a way that's totally uncomfortable to you. Have you ever seen somebody have to lay down in those beds they have for them to give birth? Most uncomfortable looking thing I've ever seen in my life. And when you get in that position, in that situation, ready to give birth, it's uncomfortable. You're not just enjoying the ride. When you get to the very point where it's about to happen, you'll feel the most discomfort. How many of us have been through something for so long that you just don't have the strength to push another step? But then the doctor comes in, somebody who's knowledgeable on how to bring life from you. What does he say? He says, it's going to be all right. Just push. It's going to come. Push. A voice of encouragement. I know that's sort of hard to see. Stay on the spiritual side with me tonight. Doctor speaking, giving guidance, knowledgeable in what it is that needs to happen for you. The Holy Ghost is more knowledgeable in what needs to change in you than anything that you could ever do on your own by your own commitments. If you're going through addictions tonight, don't try to do it on your commitment alone. For by our own commitment, we shall fail. Because when we are weak, we submit to that which we cannot deliver. There's so many people that could take a huge step to God, but not willing to lay down pornography. There's somebody that would be able just to launch out into the depths of the Spirit of God if we didn't spend so much time consumed in our smartphones and on the internet and making sure we catch the next show on television. I'm here to tell you, I'm not telling you what channels you should watch, but I'm telling you, if you spend more time with that than you do with God, it is a hindrance to you and an idol to you. If you're not willing to pay the price and suffer a little while in the travail, there may be a possibility that there will be a miscarriage in what you're trying to bring forth, and you may lose the very blessing that's God and intended for you to have. How many of us have been around the same circle in here? How many of us have been through the same trial? Just when you think you made it, you got to go through it again. Just when you think you went through it, oh, it comes up again. Same old person comes by, speaks to your heart. By your commitment alone, you'll go circle and circle and loop and feel like you're never coming out of it. But there is a substance in you that is able to bring life, that when it does, you'll overcome. Once you bring life that you've brought forth, it's yours. Nobody, even though it may come and go, can take the bond that was brought forth when life was brought into you. I know that when my mother brought me into this world, if I had died the next day, I was still her son. Whether I was in drug addiction or evangelizing for Jesus, I was still her son. When God's Spirit bores in you and you have the anointing of God, though you may come short sometimes, you are still God's child. Don't you let anybody cheat you out of feeling like that you're not saved. Don't you let anybody take away the fact that you have the anointing of God deep in your spirit. Don't let any bad service that's really dry and hard to get in steal the joy of the Lord from you. You may be the one that night that needs to bring forth something. Man, there's been some services I've been in before. I literally felt like I had wrung out all the way even to the depths of my stomach. I literally felt like I'd given all that I could give. Then all of a sudden, somebody comes out of the pew that needed Jesus and gets saved. When you bring forth life through God, it's yours, not to be taken. Let's go ahead and read in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Anything that tries to leave you in confusion did not come from God.
Amen.
Amen. Anything that would lead you to discouragement did not come from the Spirit. Amen. I just feel like we're teaching here for a minute. Anything that would try to make you feel bad in your body did not come from God. Our flesh may be weak and is not able to handle everything and every attack, but we're God's. That which is born of the flesh belongs to the part of you that doesn't intermingle with the anointing. That which is born of the Spirit, through you obeying God, through you serving Him in your obedience, is the Spirit to you. And I'm just going to ask you, I don't want you to raise your hand, I don't want you to say yes or no, I don't want anybody to feel like they're out of place, but I just want to ask you, when is the last time that you felt like that you entered in to the kingdom of God? When is the last time that it was more than just making sure I showed up? More than just coming in and amening the preacher, if you will. When was the last time that you pushed with all that was in you? That you surrendered your troubles before God? That's what I want to ask you tonight. I hear that song in my heart. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I would surely fail. Without Him, my life would be hopeless. Without God, I can't do anything. Without the Spirit of God, I'm not able to overcome that which is born of the flesh. Light and darkness will have no fellowship in this earth. So confusion in your spirit and the anointing of God will never dwell in your body at the same time. If you're in the presence of God, the Holy Ghost will give you clarity, give you an answer, show you, give you peace. When you're in your flesh and you're doubting in your heart and just always saying, oh, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can go on another step. I don't know if I'm going to come out of this. When we're dwelling in our doubt, it is not promoting the attribute of faith. All God's looking for somebody to do is to believe. All God's looking for you to do tonight is to believe. If you believe, then you are set up and made ready for the entering in of God's anointing. I hope and pray that you do not wait too long before the next time that you enter in to the presence of God. Why? You may not make it back to church. I'm not talking about you may perish tomorrow. I'm just talking about your day-to-day stability. You'll feel like one day you're up. The next day you'll feel like you're down. The next day you'll feel great. The next day you'll feel like you're under attack. Without going beyond just being committed to Christ and taking time to dwell in the anointing, we'll not have the strength that we need to overcome. I can write a book about every time that God was ready to help me, but yet I refused it and suffered greatly. I could tell you 100 different stories about all the times that God could have kept me from saying something I shouldn't have or giving in to some weakness that I shouldn't have. There's many nights I could have rejoiced in the Lord until I was slain out all the way through, but I refused because of what I felt. We'll get caught up in our own self-righteousness and say, God, I come to church, and Lord, I lift my hands. I'm waiting for your blessings. And if I don't see those blessings, I'm just going to grow more frustrated with the situation. Dwelling in our own self-righteousness and deeming to our commitment that we're doing all that we can is not allowing the anointing to flow freely. For where there is an abundance of self-righteousness and fleshly deeds, you'll find church services where the Spirit is not free. Anywhere you go, I'm going to go to another church, Brother Jared. I've had enough trying to get into the Lord's presence here, and I'm just going to go somewhere else. I know we've all had that discussion with ourselves at some point in time. looking for somewhere where we can be free. But you have to ask yourself inside, what am I doing to enter in on my own? Am I waiting for somebody to try to encourage me to get in? Or have I reached a place in God where I have the birth in me that I'm able to enter in on my own behalf? There was days in my life that I was longing to feel something more, and I didn't have it. So now that I have that anointing of God, there's going to be nothing that would steal that from my life. I'm going to have to come in every night and give Him praise just because. I'm going to have to come in and be glad just because He blessed me. I'm so glad to know that though I had a commitment, that He gave me everything that I needed.